Brian.
Rana.
Are you settling in?
I am. Yeah. Our weekend away.
Yeah.
Inspired me for the rest of the summer. I'm wearing my tropical today.
I know. You look so cute, but I have to say, I decided today, I made a personal decision.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to comment on your appearance anymore because I think you don't like it when I comment on your appearance.
That's not true.
And I've been expecting getting either a note or a text or a phone call from you that says, Ron, I need to talk to you about something. Since I refused to hire the HR person, I'm not kidding. I said to myself, after I called you Marlon Brando a couple weeks ago, I said, you know what?
You think that I didn't...
I said, I'm not saying another word to
you. I thought about that the rest of the day. I was so excited about it.
Really?
Yes.
So then what you're saying is you've been waiting to start recording now and you're wondering why I didn't give you a compliment on your fun shirt.
No, I wasn't wondering that, but I will say there are certain people who, when they talk about the way I look, it drives me crazy. There's a certain person, I'll say.
And you're not in that category?
No, not even close.
Okay. I was not certain that I was.
But now I guess I'm wondering, did you mean Marlon Brando from like Streetcar on the Waterfront or Marlon Brando from like Island of Dr. Moreau?
Oh, Island of Dr. Moreau, of course. No, Rana. I met Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now when they get up to the top of the mouth of the river. They get up to the River Delta and there he is and he's about, 438 pounds. He's wearing a pair of tie pants like you get when you go to the Thai massage place.
Yeah.
And he's eating a live chicken. That's what I meant.
See, Rana, how could I ever take it as an insult when you tell me I look like Marlon Brando?
I meant on the waterfront, of course.
I know you did. I mean, that's a gross thing to say, but I figured you meant, because it was a white t-shirt, I figured you meant that. That's
no. And then, what's his name? Who will not stop driving me crazy. I didn't tell you this. A couple weeks ago, he sent me a picture of his father deboning some fresh salmon that he caught and he was going to smoke. Who am I talking about? Arjent Kvasnikov, of course.
Arjent.
He will. Arjent the seal.
Is he Alaskan or Canadian?
He's Alaskan, okay. But obviously of Russian descent in some fashion.
Well, Rana, it's right there.
But he also, it's funny you should say that. So then he sent me a picture to say, so I guess he's apparently either Inuit or descended from somebody.
Okay.
Because his father is allowed to fish on the tribal waters.
Got it.
So he also sent me a picture of it where his father went fishing on the tribal waters in Alaska, which did look gorgeous. Though, of course, every time I think of Alaska in the summer, I think about your cruise.
Well, it wasn't a cruise. It was a small boat tour, but yeah.
And what was her name? Or the woman that you hated that ruined the
Rebecca.
Rebecca.
The worst.
And so he sent me that photo. And I said, wrote back tongue in cheek, can you see Alaska?
You mean Russia?
Russia, rather, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it sort of looked like you could, to be honest with you.
Honestly, I think she would have made a wonderful, wonderful president, vice president.
She would have been a great cartographer.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah.
Rana, need to talk about your...
Arjent the Seal wrote in and said you looked like not Marlon Brando, you looked like James Dean. Which, to be honest, I thought was going a little far.
You want to know what?
James Dean was just a teeny tiny pocket little person.
Also, James Dean, I think, was also like a little like prettier or something. Like there was something...
No, you have a Marlon Brando. You have just enough threat.
Right. I just like take salami and shove it in my mouth with my hand. And
again, that you could
grab
throw
a beer and
you could throw
it.
A beer across the room. Yeah.
Yep.
James Dean wasn't going to do that to you.
Yep. Except mine would be more like, Stella. Would be like that.
I'd like to see you do Streetcar.
I would have so much fun doing it.
Yeah.
I'd take it seriously.
I know, but be honest. You would want to play Blanche.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, that's the fact.
All these, what drives me crazy about actually Stanley is not the character. It's that every young actor wanting to just be like, no, I'm raw. Like, that's my acting style. That's what I do. You know what I mean?
Snooze, yeah.
Jessica Tandy did Streetcar on Broadway with him. And she called Vivien Leigh when the movie came around. And she said, I'm warning you, he is the worst person on the face of the planet. He's disgusting. He's a pig. And Vivien Leigh called her back after they worked together. And she was like, Jessica, you've never been more right in your life. I hated him.
And I wonder if they both had sex with him four times a week or twice a week. What do you think?
Exactly.
I mean, that's, look, when you think about the life of an actor, we're talking about what? Six weeks?
Sure. Oh, right. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
6 weeks we have to spend together with the worst, best looking guy you ever met in your life. Him chasing me around a trailer, throwing a beer bottle at me for 6 weeks. I could probably do it for 6 weeks.
Oh, me too. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah. No, I'm sure he was a nightmare, an absolute nightmare.
Now, I want to say something. Ronna does not like to talk about the Vineyard, specifically the Vineyard house.
I thought we were going to move right past that.
I know, Ronna. I know you don't like
there
to talk
are privacy,
about it.
I know. Again, I am going to have to hire this HR person because there are privacy statutes in effect.
Okay.
So you did it sign your release. You did
luxurious.
Sign your release before you came.
It is a country house feel, but in a luxurious setting. I don't actually know how you've done it, Ronna, because it feels, in other words, like when I say it's luxurious, there's nothing about it that feels cold. It feels like a warm country estate.
Yeah.
I had never in my life, first of all, I want everyone to know that I got to stay in the Art Barn. Which I don't know if that, personally, it's what I would have picked, but I don't know if that's the number one seat in the house. I think
as a guest, it is.
It's incredible.
I absolutely think it is.
I woke up to the sunlight.
If you're in the family, you're probably in the house. You know, I want to be able to have a cup of coffee with Jordy first thing in the morning before anybody floats in.
Oh, who could blame you?
But that's my favorite time of the day. To me, it's so important that the house be comfy and cozy, but still have a few formal spaces.
So honestly, that's what
if
you've
we
want
to have cocktails before we go, before we do dinner, that people feel like if they want to put on a Jack Rogers sandal or they want to put on a linen pant or whatever it is, that there are transitions throughout the day. There are day parts.
Right.
So we can have our coffee in the morning out on that little deck off the kitchen. And then we can have our cocktails in the afternoon.
And that wetland that abuts your property.
And did the sunrise wake you up in the Art Barn is my question.
Up. Every morning.
Yeah.
After
I. That's why I miss it. That was important to me. That the curtains be sheer enough. There's a sheer and then there's a blackout. But that they be sheer enough so that if you wanted to wake up with the sunrise, you could. I mean, it's situated perfectly for that.
And it's going to drive Ronna crazy. I got to spend some time with Jordan.
Well, you know, it was very funny because what was it? Was it the night before the 4th or the night after?
It was the night
before. Must have been the night before on the 3rd. We were having dinner. And yeah, that's right. Because I wouldn't have done a make your own Sunday bar after the 4th.
No, it was before the 4th.
Because then people are trying to transition the diet back into a sort of, there's still plenty of indulgences, but we're not going over the top.
Plus on the 3rd, you're all pent up waiting for that explosion on the 4th.
Rehearsal dinner. It's like the rehearsal dinner.
There you go.
Always better than the actual wedding.
Honestly, you couldn't be more right.
Of course. In any event. It always is. The rehearsal dinner is always the best night. And then
it's
the
just
wedding.
A little looser.
And everyone's looking good and they haven't had too much to drink yet.
The food is always better at the rehearsal dinner,
definitely.
I'll say.
No question. No one eats at the wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll hit the dessert table after they realize they've done nothing but drink for 6 hours. But in any event, I said to Jordan, could you go out and get me some Moose Tracks or Rocky Road, whichever you can find?
Right.
And you were kind enough to agree to accompany him.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I have to say, when I first heard Moose Tracks, I was like, are we like going hunting? I wasn't sure. I'd never heard of it.
Rocky Road Moose Tracks.
Not to mention, I had never heard of a Jack Rogers sandal, speaking of which.
Well, it's funny. Chanel is doing their version of a Jack Rogers this year. So hopefully you love those. My blue sandals.
Yeah.
I had them in blue and I had them in cream, obviously. Yep. Well, cream, shades of vanilla. I had them in shades of vanilla. Yeah.
Speaking of which,
we did have our coffee down at the Vineyard. And I did use the coffee to make my own coffee ice cream, which I thought was pretty delicious, I have to say.
I have to tell you something, Ronna.
But I wasn't going
to
make all the ice cream.
Elaine's face when she tasted that coffee.
Yeah, that was something.
I didn't want to
bring it up.
She kept saying, Ronna, you know I love you. I do my own coffee. This is not. I think she even brought her own bag.
There was such a build. Oh yeah, she brought her own beans. There was such a build up where she kept saying, "You know I love you. You're my best friend in the world." But ... Nothing comes between me and my. Don't expect me to like this coffee.
I have never been so nervous in my life.
Well, I thought it was fabulous. I said, no, so Elaine, try it or don't try it. It doesn't matter to me. You know, this is our project. We've worked very hard on this. I think you should at least taste it, but you're under no obligation to love it.
She loved it.
Every inch of it.
And I have to tell you, Rana, I was actually extremely upset on the inside, but then going out with Jordan reversed it. But I was extremely upset because you ended up giving her a bag. You gave her the duo. And
why
you've always told
you?
Me, because Rana, I told her when you started handing over that coffee, I said, no, Elaine, you go to AskRanaCoffee.com. That's what happens here. And she go, and you go, no, Elaine's my friend. I'm going to give her the duo. Yeah. And then I whispered to you after that, I said, we don't get a discount, Rana, to Bergdorf.
Which is true. Of course. You know, I can't help myself. I like to give things away. What can
I know,
I
but
do?
Rana, I told Elaine that, or I told you, because I didn't want to tell Elaine, that I would be happy to tell people that Bergdorf has really nice stuff.
All I know is I sent you and Jordan out to get ice cream.
Oh, yeah,
I could do my Sunday bar.
Yeah.
And I had homemade strawberry, homemade coffee, which I made with the shades of vanilla, which was absolutely delicious. Mm-hmm. And then I needed a little Moose Tracks or a little bit of Rocky Road just to round out the flavors.
Yeah.
And they do a great vanilla. So I said, just Jordy, go pick this up. You said, I'll run out with him. Casey can't pack or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then we were 3 hours later and I'd already cleaned up the ice cream bar and you two weren't back with the ice cream.
Well, Rana, we had to drive all over town because the Moose Track was hard to find. And then, you know, Martha's Vineyard is bigger than you think. So I think we put like 150 miles on the car or something. I don't know. But it
so
just
you
took
went
a
to
while.
Three or four different ice cream parlors.
Yeah, one an hour.
And then you still came back with the ice cream from the parlor that was closest to the house.
Well, yeah, because we double backed. And all I'm going to say is this, Rana. The whole experience, oh God, I feel like I'm going to cry, was a summer to remember. It's been a summer.
Thank you. That's so kind of you to say.
It was so.
And you really did behave yourself for the most part.
In the house, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of remember removing your dessert bowl from your hand once or twice because I knew if you had a little too much sugar that I was going to pay for, I was going to pay for it.
I was going to blame you entirely. But I just want to thank you, and I do really.
I would say you behaved well enough to be invited back.
Are you serious?
I would say that. I don't know when, mm-hmm. but I would say that you behaved well enough to be invited back. I would. Okay. That's interesting. I'm going to have to compare notes with Jordan on that story.
No,
I don't like to get involved in Jordan's personal life, but I thought maybe he was out smoking pot or something like that.
I actually would like that, Rana, because he hasn't texted me back and I've been texting him.
Oh, well, you know, I told you he's in a development phase where he's writing and he's processing and he's sort of, you know, taking in information, synthesizing it into
ideas. He took in some information,
and then going to turn it into whatever his great mm-hmm. project is going to be, his great movie, which, you know, the coffee will be financing. So we should remind people.
But tell him I did get a new cell phone plan in case that was the issue.
A new plan?
I got the number still. I have my same number, but just in case. I didn't know if the Wi-Fi.
Was like an interruption in service or something.
There might have been. It's a crazy time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now, should we get right into it? Do you want to read two quick reviews and then right into it?
I absolutely
want to say this, which we meant to say, which is we have to thank Tim Gorman. So last month we were giving to Trevor Project, and Tim Gorman, some fabulous listeners of ours,
rose to the occasion.
And he gave a donation to the Trevor Project in our name.
I can't believe it.
Which is just above and beyond and really, to me, speaks to the kind of fabulous community that we have. And I happen to know he's a CHIP. So he's in the carriage. That's the quality of person we have in the carriage house.
No kidding.
What an absolute doll. He really deserves a shout out.
Rana, would you mind reading the review from Rycors? I think I sent it to you.
Oh, God. Here we go. I'd love to see what Rycors thinks.
I don't know
what
he said, but I like the name.
Oh, okay. That's what it was. Yeah. Okay. User Rycors gives 5 stars and begins, too bad it's not a visual medium. Brian is the hottest guy in podcasting. Rana is on the show too.
What? Wow.
Are you kidding? Did you write that yourself? What does RICOR stand for?
How dare you?
Not to mention the way we started this show. I mean, you were looking for a few compliments about me. But what I'm sorry about with RICOR is they're not very, they may be, have great eyes, but they're not very good listeners. It absolutely is a visual medium. If you order sauna privileges, RICOR would have seen you in your Marlon Brando tea. That was episode 20, I believe, which was James Baldwin episode,
and also
a 20th Patreon episode. And for $10, you can see Marlon Safi Brando.
There it is. Yeah. Rana, I think we should get to our guest.
Okay. We have a fun update we're going to do with that guest too, which I'm looking forward to. Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something. You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. Brian.
Rana. This Paul. Is a guy, I have to tell you.
we normally give a big wind up.
But he doesn't need it.
It was funny to me to do Brian, Rana, Paul.
He's iconic. Everyone knows this
Maybe
guy.
It was Ron Paul that made me think of that. The name Ron Paul.
It's definitely not Ron Paul.
Our guest today.
Is Rand Paul.
Yeah. Is Rand Paul. Dr. Ron Paul. No.
Right.
Our guest today. You want to talk about multi-hyphenate? Excuse me? You want to talk about another mogul? We've long determined this is the mogul podcast. Long ago.
This is another mogul. This is another writer, producer, actor. Yep.
Correct.
And by the way, you could interchangeably put any of those first.
And podcaster, excuse me.
And podcaster.
He only happens to have one of the most popular podcasts in the whole podcasting universe.
How Did This Get Made? Okay, let's really get into it. He hosts How Did This Get Made, one of the biggest podcasts. Yeah. He's on a critically acclaimed show, Black Monday.
Correct.
He
With our very good friend, Yasser Lester.
Oh, I would love his watch.
Wait, and who else? And Casey Wilson, we've been on. She's on Black Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew Rannells.
Yeah. We haven't had him. Yeah.
No, we haven't.
No.
Paul Scheer's here.
Paul.
I am so excited to be here. What a thrill. What a thrill. A fan of this podcast, a fan of you both. And, you know, I just hope I can bring my A game because, you know, I think that you are doing so many people, such a service.
Don't try and,
so nice.
Don't even worry about your A game. Bring any game that you have. I'll be 100% honest with you. These people are so desperate, Ma. They're so desperate that they've written into Brian and I, who are practically each one step out of the loony bin ourselves. Can you still say loony bin?
You can still say it, yes.
Looney Tunes bin in Brian's case.
Well, let's not go there. Let's not talk about people's creations. It's Looney bin. It's fine.
He's a big Looney Tunes fan. Brian's a big Looney Tunes
Huge.
Fan.
They're all on HBO Max right now, Paul.
By the way, I have to say, in all sincerity, the new Looney Tunes are quite funny.
Yeah.
Looney Tunes is A plus. And I have to say, so bold. I mean, when we were kids, people were just being shot in the face on Looney Tunes. And
well, now Elmer Fudd does not have a gun. He does not have a gun anymore. He is the gun is gone.
What does he have? A walking stick?
A taser.
He just has anger. Yeah. He has male white anger. That's his biggest weapon. I will say this. That I often think back to Looney Tunes because there's one rule that I learned about writing and creation, and it all comes from Looney Tunes. And I will share it with you. I know this is an advice show.
No, this is called free advice.
This is great.
Yes. So, the rule in that room when they were coming up with these Looney Tunes were never shoot down someone's idea. right? If you don't like it, if you don't think it's funny, don't shoot it down. Just pitch a better idea. And at the end of your writer session, the best ideas will rise to the top. You don't have to worry about cutting people off at the knees, because you're
the idea
waste
will naturally
time doing that.
Recede into the background.
Yeah. And yeah. I love that idea of like, and it's such a great, I think about it often, because it's like, you can spend so much time telling people why something doesn't work, and that's not actually getting you to a place where something actually does work.
Yeah.
I also have to say, that's
a good rule for life.
And you can tell because they just build a thing on a thing. Like, it's like, oh no. And then the roadrunner, you know, runs away from that coyote and he trips and falls. And then it's like, well, what if he fell off a cliff? But what if dynamite was tied to his feet? Or what if an anvil was on his head? You know what I mean? And then that's what they go with.
And what if he was wearing a sundress and the only thing that could save him was a parasol?
Exactly. I mean, and these are the things. And look, like they were doing.
Or his eyelashes curl onto the branch of the tree and that's what saves him. Yeah. Well, you two are really big Looney Tune fans. You're getting a real kick out of that.
When my mom dropped me off at NYU, I went to NYU School of Education. My parents helped me move into my dorm room. I was from Long Island, so it wasn't that far of a trip. You know, they just kind of came into the city. And my mom was like, you need to get a couple things for your room, like some sheets and soap and stuff like that. And my mom had what I can only, I imagine she had some sort of meltdown at Bed Bath & Beyond, because she went out to go get me these things. And she came back only with Tasmanian devil themed products. Sheets, soap holder, toothbrush holder, shower
curtain.
She wasn't
matching them to your tattoo?
Yeah. Well, look, that is a cool tattoo, and that's just sort of like, you know, the way I am. I just kind of rubble through life.
Yeah, you always struck me as a Taz tattoo guy, Taz, Paul. I'm sorry I have that wrong.
I was mortified by the amount of, it was as if, like, you know, when you would walk through a Bed Bath & Beyond and you would see, like, oh, this is the way a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger room would look. You know, my mom just bought the room that was Tasmanian Devil.
She got you the Taz collection.
NYU, it's upsetting. It's like, oh, so embarrassing. So embarrassing.
So you had a first grader's bedroom.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's fabulous. Yeah. Well, she guaranteed you wouldn't get the tattoo that way.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's an
interesting
bit of reverse psychology.
Brilliant move.
Okay. So we should get into this advice, because look, we've already had two great pieces of advice. How to run a writer's room by being positive instead of being negative. Don't worry, the dumb ideas will fall right off.
Yep.
And how to not shop for your kid if you drop them off at college if college ever returns. Those are our two best pieces of advice. But it was an act of love on her part.
Act of love, but you know,
and
what?
A good story.
Sometimes. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Manhattan's stressful. She probably went in and was like, I just got to get whatever I need and out. I need out of here.
She just wanted to keep him young. I think she was having a problem with the fact that he was growing up and leaving the nest.
Yeah, and I also feel like there's like a warped sense of who. I mean, I feel like we all have this. Our parents see us in one way. My mom always sees me in a way that I am not. And that person is a person who wears like, you know, a spray painted button down shirt with scenes from Casablanca on it. Or, you know, someone who has like a saddlebag with many a buckle on it. Like, I believe that she got me a saddlebag for Christmas that there were more pockets on this saddlebag. And it was, it looked like it belonged on a horse. Honestly,
Let's not pretend you don't own a bowling shirt or two, Paul. I mean, I'm sure June has expelled them from the wardrobe now, but that there might have been a day.
Well, I mean,
in the not too distant past.
Yeah, do you know my story about the bowling shirts? Did I ever told you the story?
No,
but I feel like in my mind I can picture you in a teal and black bowling shirt. Did you have a teal and black bowling shirt at one point?
Well, let me at least extricate myself from being guilty and buying this shirt. Okay. So I took an acting class in New York from this very famed audition director. Everyone's like, you have to take her class. She only comes to New York every couple of, twice a year.
Sure.
And she was very expensive. And she's going to tell you how it is.
Was this the lady who would say capiche?
Yes.
Oh, she might have.
I think I also went to this lady. I think she would come to New York like twice a year. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And she would tell you who you were. She would say, you are Billy Crystal in City Slickers. And that's who you should be when you audition. Is that right?
And yes. And she would always
I've heard Jessica St. Clair told me about this woman.
Yes. She would always tell women to wear fuck me pumps. That was a very big note. And what she said to me was, you need to wear bowling shirts. That's your thing. Bowling shirts. So like, a desperate actor in his early 20s, I bought like 6 bowling shirts and that's what my audition look was. I was the bowling shirt guy. And what bad advice that was.
Did she get cast?
No.
She told me
all of her casting choices were out of 80s sitcoms. So she was telling me
this is crazy. I haven't thought about this in years. She told me I was Sam Malone. That's what she said for me.
Wow.
I totally forgot about this. She did. She was like, you need to go to auditions. You are Sam Malone in Cheers. And I was like, oh, wow. I never, never would have thought that.
She gave me
a note one time because I was reading a scene from like 2 1/2 Men, bowling shirt.
Sure.
And,
I was imagining Charlie Sheen or John Cryer's bowling shirt when I was imagining your bowling shirt.
So there you go. It was right on.
Maybe she's not wrong.
And she was trying to give me so many things. Like, have you ever heard this like thing in acting where they say like, they have like an accent and a limp. And that's that was the lay that she kind of taught her class, because she's like, all right, so you're auditioning for John Cryer. And she's like, and you got to have like a physical thing too. Like maybe you're always itching because you just feel like maybe you got bit by something. So I'm doing this scene and I'm like, itchy and like just itching like during the scene. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, it's these things that you spend so much money on when you are starting out and you're like, you're right. And then you're going in and you're insane. You're acting insane.
Yeah. I remember the first audition I went to after seeing her, and the person auditioning me was like, you just have to get rid of everything you just did. Like that was so, there's nothing in the character description that would describe this. I cannot believe she was the worst. And
all right, you two, this isn't the audition podcast.
Sorry.
This is the advice podcast.
Yes.
Pardon me. But that is, by the way, you have both given incredibly valuable pieces of advice, which is you don't need to put a hat on a hat.
Yes.
Yeah. And if it smells like bad milk, it probably is.
Capiche. And she would also say, take a butt breath. That should say that too.
Oh, yes. I remember that. All right. Yes.
She wanted you to breathe.
Yeah.
And relax while you were in the audition. Is that why?
Hey, what are you going to do when you're in front of Steven Spielberg and he asks you to change something up? You're going to take a butt breath. And I'd be like, okay, what a scenario this is. Oh, she was such a hack.
How much were these? I wonder who she was friends with that they hired her for all of you people.
But you know what it is? It's like you're so desperate for someone to tell you something that feels real. And that you just like, so if she's telling you wear fuck me pumps, like, of course, that's why I've never gotten anything. Because I'm not wearing the right shoes.
Yep.
Like, you know, she, I think, created this cult of personality because she'd be like, you're Sam Malone, you're bowling shirt guy. And all we wanted was some validation, some shortcut. And she would give it to you and that's it.
Yeah.
Well, people just want to know what should I do?
Hack.
That's what they want to
know. I need a hack. Yeah.
I need a hack. What's my hack?
Which is why this podcast gets over 5 million listeners a week, Paul.
That's amazing. It's amazing.
I don't know if you
and Joe Rogan, the biggest podcast.
Almost none of them are in America.
Well, that's
so you won't see us at the top of the iTunes charts only in America.
But here's the thing. America right now is going through a pandemic because we don't listen to the advice of people who know better. All around the world, they do. They've kind of cleared this whole thing up. So your podcast is working.
I'm telling you, Israel and Croatia have it all the way together because they are listening.
All right. So our first mail, we have both an update and a question.
Yes.
So I'm going to read it if that's okay with you,
Brian. I think you should read it.
And then you can give Paul a little background on this.
Okay.
Okay. Dear Ron and Brian, my big sister, the great and powerful Liz Legs, is in need of a little encouragement and advice.
Okay, Paul. So Liz Legs was a lady who wrote into us, and it's spelled legs like the pantyhose because she was
okay. So double G's.
Yes,
we
she's like
get a kick out of legs, and it
that's
shows.
That's the one.
You know so the one from.
She's
yes, of course.
She's like 27. She loves wearing pantyhose, and she realizes they're out of style, but she doesn't. She never wanted to stop wearing them, and she was like, "Do I need to stop wearing them? I love wearing them." And we were like, no, it sounds great. Keep wearing them. And then she sent us pictures of herself in pantyhose. And it was clear that she liked wearing them because people paid attention to them.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Tell you she's a public defender in Baltimore.
Sure.
Okay. And she likes to wear a purple suit. And she's a little bit of like a mini Gloria Allred type.
Okay, I like
she likes
this.
To
All
wear
right,
a suit to get noticed. And when she sent us the picture of her showing her legs, it turned out that her skirt was a little bit of an upshot of her skirt. So she's also an exhibitionist, we should tell
you. It could have been like a poster for Working Girl. She had like basically a cigar in her mouth and she was on the desk.
And she likes to play footsie.
Yeah.
So
Liz Legs is part of our whack pack, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So this is from Liz Legs' sister, who we've never heard from before. I didn't even know she had a family. I thought she was hatched right out of a Legs egg shell.
Yeah, me too.
By the way, this is a great animated show. I want to see this character running around.
Jessica
Rabbit of our time.
Oh, truly. She's more like a Jessica hamster. But yeah,
sure.
She's just a tiny little thing. Liz has met a sweet and patient man that is a perfect foil for her dynamic personality, and they were engaged in August of last year. Ooh. Since then, they have been planning their wedding for April 2021, but of course, circumstances have changed. Liz's fiance is a scientist, and he feels certain that the 175-person wedding that they had planned will not be feasible next spring. They've recently made the difficult decision to hold a small open-air wedding in a park this summer. I know Liz is disappointed that her big country club wedding will not be happening, but she has been doing an amazing job of remaining positive as she shifts the plans to something more intimate. Fortunately, she brought home a gorgeous wedding dress just before quarantine began, so her attire is taken care of, and I assume she'll be wearing double pantyhose on the day. And a dear family friend who is a cake artist is making a huge dummy wedding cake to make it feel more like a wedding and less like a picnic. But COVID precautions will prevent her from serving any refreshments, aside from maybe some safely distributed celebratory cupcakes and splits of sparkling wine. Okay. What can Liz and her fiance do to make their public park wedding feel like a special once-in-a-lifetime event and not like a consolation prize? How can they be gracious hosts without the usual accoutrement of food and booze? Is there one thing that you would suggest they splurge on to help make the day more memorable? Liz and I are both loving life in the carriage house, so thank you for your graciousness and humor. All the best, Carolyn. That's L-Y-N, like Bisette Kennedy. Not like L-I-N-E, like Bouvier candidate. Excuse me.
Well, I have a lot of thoughts on this.
Hit it.
As someone who is married outdoors.
Okay.
So I got married at a natural history museum in Santa Barbara. And
gorgeous.
That sounds nice.
And it was absolutely gorgeous, but it seems like there are some similarities to the locations, right? The park thing. And I think there's so many things that you can do. And I'm going to give a couple of big ones. You can set up through posts, and I don't know how what park they're doing, but you can set up through posts like maybe a string of photos of your relationship, and people could walk through that.
Ooh,
you know,
that's
6
nice.
Feet apart.
Love that.
I think you can get married in the round, which allows you to kind of again socially distance yourself, but also create a bigger space. So you're kind of surrounded by your friends and family. And I think you could even hang streamers or something from the trees to give it like kind of a little bit of a magical feel. Like you could really embrace the stuff. And I believe that the way that we in your hotel rooms will give your guests at your wedding like a bag or something like that.
Yeah.
Why not create that for the wedding? And everyone underneath their seat could have these canned, they have like great canned wine and champagne.
So many
right
good
now.
Options, yeah.
So many good options. And you can give everybody an individual, they have their own thing. Like, and you know, it's not incredibly expensive, but everyone could basically have their little wedding bag in a their little wedding bag full of, you know, whatever it is, a little bit of food individually wrapped, a can that's, you know, there, and with a little bit of a sanitizer in there. You're done. You have to just get there and pre-prep the place.
Paul, add another dash to the hyphenate. Wedding planner. I'm not kidding. Those are amazing ideas. That sounds nice even for not a socially distanced wedding. That's beautiful.
I just think it's like you can just kind of like make the space sparkle a little bit, and you don't have to make it sound like it's like a kid's party. I think you could do that. I think that would be nice.
I think that is such fabulous advice. And I think also it's really important what time of day you choose to do it. So if you do it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, she's going to melt.
Yes.
And the picture's going to be terrible and everything else. But if you do it in the afternoon, in the sort of the early evening, she'll still get those sunsetty pictures. You know, make sure you pick whatever this open air park is, make sure you pick the exact spot where they get married carefully. I love the idea, if it's possible, of hanging fairy lights or something like that from the trees. What's to stop you from doing that and taking them down when it's over? I love the wedding in a bag idea, for lack of a better terminology. I don't know why you can't have a real cake, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah,
with you.
Part stumped me.
I think that's going too far.
It's about, yeah, because, I see.
Yeah, because it's sort of like the, that's the reason why Florida right now has stopped bars from serving drinks. I think it's just about cross-contamination. But what you could do is this person who makes cake can put it individually in like a to-go container. It's like everyone gets a slice. Like you can have something that is there and out so you can see the wedding topper.
Totally.
By the way, we're talking about music too. Get a violinist there. Get somebody off to the side. Bop, 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 bop.
Yeah. Absolutely. Whatever. I love all of these ideas. And I think also going off of your idea of having a sort of circle around them, if they end up doing it that way, this idea of being, because obviously I don't think they're going to have 175 people now. I think they're probably going to have 40 people or something.
Sure.
Or whatever the city stipulates. But I love this idea of being surrounded. And I wonder if it would be worth, and I mean, you'd have to choose wisely, but I wonder if it would be worth incorporating those people into the ceremony in some way, where if it is really small and intimate, where either you read a poem and people read a portion of the poem, or people are allowed to say something. Yeah.
In our wedding, we had our readers stand in the crowd. So they never approached us, which was kind of actually really lovely too.
I love that.
So, you know, and again, because you're in the round, they can be anywhere you want because everyone's looking and you get the turn. And yeah, it's a nice.
I think you have to think Shakespeare, Midsummer Night's Dream here.
Yes.
Well, and that actually goes into my advice. I would say that all sounds great, but I would say the night before your wedding, you really need a primer on what not to do. And I would watch Midsummer because that also is beautiful. It's a beautiful movie. And you're thinking, what could go wrong? I'll tell you what. A lot.
So, that's on my list. Should I watch that?
Well, if you want to have an outdoor wedding, I would.
Okay.
Because
I am so nervous to watch that movie because Hereditary fucked me up. Sorry, excuse me. So badly.
It fucked me up too. I have to say Midsommar's really silly. It's like, I don't know that it's worth your time even. The first like 20 minutes is genuinely terrifying and it's so good. And then after that, it's just crazy.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So I don't think you need to waste your time on it.
He would send you straight to Suspiria if you haven't seen that, because that's the only movie that Brian cares about.
But that's if she's getting married in a dance studio. If she's getting married outdoors, I would say. Okay. Yeah. All right. Should we go to the next question?
I think that's wonderful advice.
I do too. That is solid.
And I think we absolutely want pictures of what's going on here. We need to see Liz's legs in her hose. And we have to say congratulations to Liz.
Yeah, don't look at our world as a deficit right now. Fight and figure out how to make it a benefit, because it is your day. So still make it your day. Don't give up on it. You know, I feel like the letter felt like it was giving up. Yeah.
And I think all of these people that had these plans, this time is about pivoting. Mm-hmm. And so you just have to pivot and What a wonderful thing. I actually think it's so... Now, here's something we never talked about on the podcast, but that happened right after. We had two guests on, Jack Cutmore Scott and Megan Rath. She's on Hawaii Five-O, and they were supposed to be on a pilot together. No, Hawaii Five-O finished, but they were supposed to be on a pilot together, and that got cut off. And they were supposed to be married in England this summer. And they just wanted to be married. And they got married, and they had a drive-by. People drove by and beeped. They dressed up, and they had champagne. And she wore a gorgeous white dress. And they just got married anyway because me.
Were they also doing COVID tests if people wanted them during the drive-through?
It was at Dodger Stadium, yeah. And people could sign up online. And they know, but they want to be married. They want to start their life. So a party you can have anytime. Of course, the day should feel special, and that's wonderful if you can figure out how to do that.
Do it on
but
your
if you
want to
start
By
your
the
life,
way,
start your life.
Yeah, that's nice.
I'm a big believer, and this is a crazy thing I'll say, but. Wouldn't it be amazing if all of us who wanted to get married got married and then the wedding was a year later after you've put in some time and that you know it's like, this is working. I'm not going to spend money on a blender that you are going to break up and,
yeah.
And 1 year, it's sort of like, that's when you should recommit. Like, yes, we figured it out, or this is going south.
Yeah, we made it through. That's going to be the hottest year. We made it through the first year.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
I think that's the way to go.
It's a better party. Yeah,
I love that idea. I love that idea. Okay.
All right.
Brian, you're going to read the next one.
Let's do it. Dear Ronna, Brian, and guest, a.k.a. Paul, I hope you can help me with my problem, and I hope you don't decide that I'm the crazy one here. Says a lot right there. Yeah. I've been quarantining alone for 100 days. I live in New York City, and my roommate wanted to stay with my family in a less populated area.
With family.
Oh, my roommate wanted to stay with family in a less populated area. Got it. Well, he's back.
I would love it if they went to stay with the roommate's family.
Right. No, they didn't. He went to his own family's.
Yeah.
Well, he's back. I'm thrilled to have the company, but he's not so good at washing his hands. Granted, I'm a bit extreme. I wash my hands as soon as I enter the apartment. I wipe down anything I buy with disinfectant and continue washing my hands many times throughout the day. He walks in and starts putting things in the fridge. I've never actually seen him wash his hands. We are both grown men. How can one grown-up tell another grown-up to wash his hands? FYI, before we returned home, I asked him if we could have a talk about safety protocols. We agreed on what they were, but now he's not following them! With love, Todd. That's disgusting and dangerous. Yeah. But also, I don't trust anyone who says from one grown adult to another. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't like people who call themselves adults.
I don't like that either. There's some suspect things. I'm feeling, well, it's hard. This is a tricky one, right? Because let's break down a couple of the facts here in my mind. First of all, I am a believer that contact, like that surface-to-surface contact, is not going to be our greatest issues.
Right.
So,
meaning what? What's an example of
that?
What's
if you get a
category?
Box from Amazon, you don't need to take out a wet wipe and wipe it down, and then open it and then wet wipe that down. Everything that I have read and seen, it does not seem like that's how this is going. This is a again, I'm no doctor, but from what I've at least for my own sanity at 100+ days in my house, I've agreed to that, but I do believe that going out into the real world and coming in, you got to wash your hands.
Yeah.
You got to make that stop. That's got to be the one. That's got to be the stop. There's no ifs, ands, or buts on that. And you could maybe leave some plastic gloves at the door. I used to wear more plastic gloves out, but you're good. You can maybe leave some things at the front door. We have like plastic gloves and sanitizer right at our front door when you come in. So it's right there. So even if you don't wash your hands, bump, bump, a little before you go, a little before you come back, you know, that might be a passive aggressive way of making sure somebody does.
That's not bad actually, of just saying really, because if you're able to set up the sanitizer at the door, then there's like really no excuse. If this guy just doesn't want to spend the 20 seconds or whatever going to the sink, washing his hands, toweling them off, like that might be a good solution of just like, well, it's staring you right in the face. Just do it. And also, I feel like you do have room to say just sort of like, hey, now that the crisis is clearly getting even worse, It'd be great if we could just make sure to like sanitize our hands or whatever before we come in. Yeah, I think coming in the door is just a
given. Touched door handles, you have a lot of stuff on you, whatever it is, why not? And if you, wherever you put your keys, put some sanitizer.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
It's just there, and it's, or so when you leave, you think about it. When you come in, you think about it. And that's at least a little bit of a way, or you lie and just tell a story and go, did you hear that whole thing that we're supposed, now that we're supposed to, apparently supposed to do this and this, like you make it like I'm sharing with you this crazy story. We got to do it. I mean, yeah. I heard about it. I got to do it. You know?
Yeah. Or since you're such an adult, since you've mentioned that four times, you have an adult conversation and you say, look, maybe you think I'm nuts and I'm over, you know, over protecting myself and being overcautious, but we're sharing this space. And hand washing, I have to tell you, hand washing is for people that are in the second category of taking care of themselves. Hand washing is for people that are really paying attention, who go to the store, come back, wash their hands, and trust themselves and are diligent enough to not put their hands anywhere near their face, they're wearing masks, et cetera, et cetera. Sanitizer is the bare minimum that people can easily do. You put it by the door and you say, we should sanitize on the way in and on the way out because we owe that to the people that we're going to touch the button in the hallway for the elevator. We owe it to the doorman. We owe it to whoever is, you know, or to our other neighbors. And you owe it to me when you come back in the house that you don't bring in wherever you've been. And it's not that I don't think you're conducting yourself beautifully, but I'll be honest with you, I'm not there with you. And I already have so much anxiety over this. And then I'm already putting so much attention myself into trying to keep myself safe. We're sharing the space. If you don't want to wash your hands, that's fine. It's up to you when you wash your hands. I need you to I think we should both be sanitizing when we come in.
And I'm going to make it easy for us.
By the way, honestly... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I know they've already talked about it, but just get rid of the quote-unquote, really your quote, safety protocols. Just get rid of that and just focus on this. Just say, I just want this one thing. Yeah.
One thing. That's all you need is one little moment. And I will say this. If I agree with what you all are saying, when you go out, you should sanitize because who knows what we have. And that's part of wearing a mask. I'm treating myself like I have it. And I don't want to give it to you. And I think that's the responsible human way of doing things. But if you're finding that this is like hitting a wall, you do have to live with this person. It is an uncomfortable situation to be in a room where you prove yourself vulnerable or you open yourself to these things. Just say, when you come in, sanitize. Like really at the end of the day, like if you want to even break it down one step more, just give yourself a squirt every time you come into the house. That's all I'm asking. And that's cool. And then we're done.
And I'm going to leave it by the door.
Yeah.
I'm leaving it by the door for you.
And I'm going to leave wipes by the door in case you want to wipe down the packages that come to you. I do think, personally, I'm wiping down most of the packages that come in before I open them. I'm not wiping down all the food I buy. I'm not wiping down, you know, I'm not doing that. But when something comes off the Amazon truck, do I know if the guy sneezed on the box or whatever? No. So personally, I just feel better. Do I think that the numbers are necessarily supporting my behavior? No. I think am I being overly cautious?
Yeah.
That's fine.
You can't ask your roommate
to do that. If he doesn't want to wipe down his Amazon packages, that's up to him.
Yeah,
you're not going to get COVID from his Amazon package that sat on the floor that you didn't lick. Okay.
My wife and I have a rule that whenever
he is touching everything else in the apartment himself. He's the spreader, not the packages. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, just show that picture of that family who threw that surprise party and all 15 of them got COVID. I mean, you know, we have to understand.
How about those eight people that threw the Trump rally, Padme?
Yeah.
Yeah. Excuse me.
What's the rule that you and your wife have?
Yeah.
When it comes to safety, we just can't question it. If someone thinks something is unsafe or is asking you to do something because of safety, we have to just, we give over to the other person. Even if we don't agree with it, we give over to it. So if, you know, I feel unsafe right here, I need this to happen, I'm trusting your instinct in this moment. And it's not like we don't abuse that, but we just know, like, when it comes to safety, there's no but, maybe, it's making me comfortable. And it's actually been a wonderful thing. You know, it's sort of like, I'm not going to argue this. We've agreed that we're not going to argue it when something is about safety.
It's absolutely lovely, because it's not just, I mean, that's more when you're probably in a more intimate relationship with someone, sure, that you can get to that level. But I think it's such a beautiful thing that you're explaining, which is, not only do I give over to whether I think you're being overly anxious or you're not or whatever, it's about feeling safe in a relationship and knowing that, mm-hmm, the person, mm-hmm, who has your back absolutely has your back. And even if they think it's a little silly, why, yes, should they argue it if it's going to make you feel a little better?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's very lovely. Look at Paul giving all this free advice that people aren't even asking for.
No one deserves this.
No. Rana, no one deserves this.
Do you want to read the next one?
Sure. Dear Ron, Brian, an illustrious guest. Excuse
thank
me.
You.
How did they know?
Not bad.
I have a family member who is a professional man in a respectable career, a marriage of many years, and overall is a nice guy. But he is also on Twitter. He never tweets, but follows me on Twitter, as well as many of our family members. In addition to family members, local news folks, and some celebs, he follows a lot of Twitter porn accounts.
Ooh.
And I'm not talking just a few porn stars. I'm talking Brian level free feed.
Excuse porn. Me.
Excuse
wow.
me.
I don't I even follow porn.
Brian level free feed.
Wow. I heard it the first
porn
time
to scroll through while you are hoping your kid doesn't burst into the room.
First of all, I gave my kid up. Second of all, I don't watch porn. I mean, I do, but not on Twitter.
But not on Twitter.
Yeah.
Lots of bondage stuff, cuckolding, you name it. I'm hoping my CHIP and DIP membership doesn't get revoked simply for writing this question. I am positive he does not know that others can see on Twitter who you follow.
Well, that's the issue.
Is there a way to make him aware without embarrassing him by letting him know I know? All the best. XX tweeting the night away. Have you ever run into this issue, Paul? Is there anyone in your life who's following people that you think they don't know?
No,
don't,
but here's
they
the
don't
issue.
Know
I will
you can
say
see
this.
Them.
I understand that for the most part, whoever you follow, you're saying that you are endorsing them on some level, unless you are somebody who is, you know, maybe more politically savvy and you're looking at different kind of news. News is a different kind of a thing. But if
a
you
follow
are
is a recommendation,
I think to a certain extent, because what people are going to do, it's like looking through your cupboards when they go to your bathroom. They're, oh, that person on Twitter. Let's see what we got here. And if I saw a bunch of porn stars, I'd be like, why reveal yourself that way? Why keep your antipsychotic meds in your guest bathroom?
Right.
Like,
right.
Why? Oh, yeah. Why keep? I remember I went over to somebody's house.
Presumably, because if you're on them, you're doing the bare minimum. I mean, you're just doing your best. If you're on antipsychotics, you're just doing your best.
I went over to somebody's house and I used their bathroom, and their preparation H was right on the toilet. And here's the thing. And this is what I want to say. I have no issue with anyone using Preparation H. I understand that it's important.
Was it Charlize Theron? I just have to know.
all I'm going to say is this.
Well, because, you know, models use it under their eyes in order to take down the puffy.
But if they use it under their eyes, they don't keep it on the toilet.
Well, I guess that's fair.
I guess what I'm saying is, why would we need to advertise it? Any which way that you're going to use, why do you need to advertise it? And you know, like if that's the way that he's getting like a glimpse of some like breasts and stuff like that, I mean, it's a little bit, I don't know. I'm more kind of concerned at the fact that why he's following all these people. It's sort of like, yeah, like, I mean, just go and look on a free porn site do you need it that much in your stream?
But, so the question right. really is, though, A, does he know that you can see? Is he not savvy? Does he know that you can see who other people follow? Or does he think he can just follow when people aren't looking at his followers?
The way that I would do it,
because otherwise
if I was
he would just creep on people if that was the case. You don't have to follow someone in order to see their stuff.
The way that I would do it is this. I think I would pick a mutual friend and in a casual conversation, again, this is me being very passive, in a casual conversation, be like, oh my God. Did you see that, you know, Sheila is following so-and-so? Oh,
spread the word.
And, and like that Chris D'Elia reaction video, let it fall all over his face in realization. Like, you're not saying, like, you're letting him connect
the
dots.
I didn't see that video.
Oh, yeah. When Chris D'Elia finds out that Snapchats don't disappear, there's a video that's been going around that's been viral that really... shakes him to the core.
How is there a video of him having that moment?
He's on a show.
Yeah. Oh, and somebody says, oh, well, you know, they don't disappear. And he's sort of,
yeah, he's talking about somebody else who's caught up in something else. He's like, well, how would you see that? But how would you see that? And they're like, well, you just videotape the thing. And Brian, you've seen it. I mean, it's a pretty amazing, it's a magical moment.
Right.
In the sense of just like, yeah, you see it.
I have to say, I would just only say something to him if...
Why say anything?
Well, because what if it's something that's like, could affect his job or something? You know what I mean? If he truly doesn't know. But I don't think the friend should say... I actually never think a friend should get involved with something like that.
This is a family member.
Family member.
Oh, that you're right.
It must be a cousin or an uncle.
Well, tell
something.
His mother. You could just say,
yeah, your husband's into BDSM cuckolding videos, and I only know this from Twitter.
No, you tell his mother.
Your son. Sorry,
yes.
Your son is only into BDSM cuckolding videos, and I only know this from Twitter.
You go to the mother and you say, Twitter, do you know what Twitter is? And she'll be like, I've heard of it. And you say, like, honestly, me too. I've heard of it, but I'm on it a little. All these people following porn. I mean, it's like everyone does it. So disgusting. Bob follows it.
I mean, why don't you just say, Bob, can I talk to you for a second? Sure, what's going on? How are you? Good, how are you? Good. Look, if this is intentional, that's fine.
You're already making me so anxious right now. Hearing
this is how you bring those conversations up, Ronnie. You say, look, I've got a bottle of pills in my purse and I'm gonna take them all because I can't stand it anymore. I'm out. And then he'll say, oh my God, is there anything I could do? And you say, you could take the porn off your Twitter. And then it's disarming, and then you go on.
You just say it's none of my business. You can do whatever you want, and I'm not judging this, but I just want to make sure that you know that when you follow someone on Twitter, everyone can see it. And if you're fine with that, that's fine. But if you're not, I suggest you go home, you unfollow a few people. And if that stuff that you still want to look at, you can look at it without following.
Hold on. I'm realizing
something.
He may
not know that you can't, you don't have to follow to watch.
I'm realizing a very important part of this. He doesn't tweet. He is just lurking.
Yes.
So no one will ever see that he follows porn. So now I'm sort of thinking, why does this person care? Because he's not tweeting. Well, you wouldn't be searching him out. He's not interacting on Twitter. He's just like a ghost account.
But she found him.
But I think because she knows,
so only everyone in his family that it would be most embarrassing to will know who he's following on Twitter. I think he doesn't know that if you're not active, that people don't
see.
I also think he doesn't understand that you can just search people you want to look at.
I think she should tell him, and I think this is advice for him. When she confronts you about it, you turn to her and you say, blocked, and then walk away. Block him.
By the way, how about this? Why don't you just go like this? Again, maybe this is too passive aggressive. I was talking to someone in your family.
There's always someone else involved.
it's very Trumpian.
Paul loves to triangulate. This is my favorite. Yeah.
You know, I like to come at it like an ally to your person if you're delivering some tough information. So you go, oh my gosh, I was talking to Bob and he was like so-and-so, you're, you know, so you follow a lot of porn accounts. Like, or we were like, or like we were both laughing. You could even make yourself comfortable. You know, Bob and I were talking today. You follow a ton of porn accounts on there. Like, you know, what is up with that? Like, make it fun. Yeah, make it fun. It's like, it's not like, don't do this. It's sort of like, whoa, something's going on. Like, and then he has to make the decision of, oh shit, they can see that. And then he can decide of it, like what he wants.
But now you've told him that you've pointed it out to somebody else.
Right, because
if you wanted like, to but if you wanted to minimize his embarrassment and not worry about your own discomfort,
but also
then you don't want him to know that you've pointed out to anybody else. You want to say to him, "This is right now. This is just you and me that know about."
But he also might not know who Bob is.
Right.
Who's he?
Well, Paul used the name Bob, and I think maybe if the other
Bob
guy's like,
is our Twitter user in this. Yes. You started Bob, Brent.
That's not true, because before Paul said Bob and I were talking about how much Twitter. Or
yes,
how
but
much
you're Twitter. The one who called him Bob to begin with, so then I called him Bob, and then Paul mistakenly also called him Bob. So we've got two Bobs talking to each other now.
Well, Bobs are kind of checking out this thing. I mean, look, I just think if you maybe bring it up in a sweet way,
yeah,
and you say,
I
like
think
in a funny way,
very,
like,
yeah,
and then it's like you're not condemning it. You're just kind of like, oh, hey, you're finding a lot of porn on there, aren't you? Like, you know, it's sort of like, we know, or like, you know, you wait until he talks about Twitter and be like, well, you should talk. You follow like what, like 40 porn stars, and he'll be like, what do you mean? And you're like, right, that's what you. I mean, like, you know, who you follow, and then, oh, you can see that, yeah, and you don't, you're. You're just bringing it up like if he's making a joke about somebody else or he's talking about what he saw on Twitter, you know, then you're just like,
so or we have to wait for him to bring up Twitter in order to have this conversation.
No, because you could also say, oh my God, I found out something we have in common. We're both on Twitter, and I also follow the twirling woman or whatever the handle
right.
is.
Right. We both follow.
I didn't know you were into that.
Good.
We both follow Giant Jaw 46.
God. I can't think of a worse name.
I think you need to decide whether you think this is actually going to affect his life in some way or another, because it's not necessarily your job to point it out to him. But if you really want to, you can. You'd be doing him a favor, probably.
There is a
potential that he's an exhibitionist. And that he'll say, oh, you like my list of people that I follow?
Like Liz with the pantyhose.
Yeah, like Liz Legs, where she says, I get a kick out of legs, and it shows. Wait, do you want me to do about it?
Well, but let me ask you one other question, because now I'm really going all over on this one. I follow a lot of people on Twitter. I recently followed people on Twitter, and I never check who they follow.
Me neither.
It's not like part of the... I mean, you can, but it's not part of like the social construct. I'm not like... I often, like today, I followed this this great writer who wrote a beautiful op-ed in New York Times, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to follow her. It never occurred to me to be like, who does she follow? I just kind of just like,
I've never followed her.
But she's not your weird cousin.
But even my family members, I'm not looking through.
But this person was sort of looking through their cousin's stuff. They wanted to see, oh,
okay, got it.
Bob's on Twitter. What's he doing on Twitter? Oh, he follows LeBron James and the New York Times and what?
So do you think the listener who wrote in,
yeah,
kind of wants to say something? Do you think she came into this being like, I can't wait to bust him on this. I just want to make sure it's the right thing to do. Because I think just by instinct, I would never bring this up to a cousin ever or a family member.
If it's a she, but yeah, this person. I mean, the way that it's written, it seems to me that they want to do them a favor, that they think that that person is sort of out of touch and they don't really understand how Twitter works and that they might be incidentally embarrassing themselves. That is sort of how it reads. But it's possible that there's another, you know, that there's a titillation factor here for the cousin who wants to sort of say,
well, looking around at people's
stuff. I know a little
stuff,
more
yeah.
about you than I thought I was going to know, and just wanted to let you know that
this is good dirt. This is good family reunion dirt. Like, you know, you want to, like, I mean, it's more protective. It's like, Do you want anybody else to think that you're kind of a perv? Because that's the thought. There's no way getting out of it.
They do say that he follows them and several other family members. So really, anybody with just a little bit of curiosity can see all of this.
Yeah, can get in there.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
All right. Good luck. I don't know what you're going to do, but good luck.
Family gossip, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Paul.
Yes.
This is
the part of our show where we do a giveaway.
Okay.
And what we do, Brian is going to explain the giveaway because he does the best show.
I actually feel like I never get it right, but I'm going to try this time.
Okay. Well, we'll find out together.
We decide to give something, a token, to someone, to a listener who has written in, who we think deserves it the most. And that could be, that's really just an instinct. That's just like what your heart tells you that.
Right.
So, okay. So our three people who are under consideration are Liz Legs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We also have the roommate hygiene.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we also have Twitter weirdo.
Yeah.
So Ron is going to say what the gift is, and then we're going to decide who this gift should go to of those three.
Now, I have a strong point of view before I even know what the gift is, just based on who I believe deserves it.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on one second.
Maybe we'll change. I'm just going to say we can, when we decide, I'll tell you if it changed or not. But I have a strong, already I have a strong
sense. So you want to give the gift away without even knowing what the gift is. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. I feel like someone here clearly needs a gift.
Okay. All right.
But we'll see what the gift is.
Yeah. So
you want to hear the gift first, or you want to give
away
the gift?
I do want to hear the gift. I'm just going to tell you if it affects my judgment.
This week's gift is something we've been giving out for the past couple of weeks, which Paul has also been the recipient of, excuse me, which is the Ask Rana Coffee Duo. Now, we launched this coffee a couple of weeks ago, Paul. It is flying off the shelves.
Can't even imagine.
We spent months developing these flavors. I mean, I'm not kidding. You would think we would just slap a label on something if you didn't know us. Pardon me.
I mean, I believe me. I believe that you made this coffee with the amount of time and care that you have put into this advice.
She flew to Colombia. She flew to Africa.
Wow.
I mean, she.
I had to finger all of the beans personally, Paul.
Of course,
Rana.
I had to
pre-COVID.
I had to let them run through my fingers.
Yeah.
But truly, Paul. I mean, Paul. We've known each other for a long time. You know, yes. I'm a perfectionist.
Absolutely. I love the amount of detail, the level, your seriousness in this world. Absolutely. And when I got this coffee, you know, we are a family that doesn't really switch up our coffee, but I knew it was coming from you that I was like, you know what, we're going to do this. And we are thrilled that we did.
Okay. So who's winning this, Paul?
Well, okay. My gut is the person that deserves this the most is the roommate. The roommate has gone through so much. We've gave great advice to the person getting married, Liz Legs. Like, they got it. They got their gift in advice. The third one, the porn, I don't see much problem there. I see somebody that's kind of sniffing around other people's business.
Creating your own problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I just think this roommate person, they need a little bit to give them a little bit of a kick. We are obviously adding something into their house. I don't know how they're going to feel about that, but I think if you wipe down that coffee, it's vacuum sealed. You grind the beans, you're going to be fine. Keep it away from your roommate. You don't want him touching those beans. But I think that you deserve a little bit of a break. You deserve a little bit of a chance to embrace where you're at.
I totally agree. And I think what the other thing about the coffee is, it's something just for you. You don't have to share it. Like a roommate, you can write on it, "Don't drink my coffee." Like people do in the fridge, you know, Bob's milk. And I think it's a wonderful way to start the day. Brian and I both start the day every day with a cup of Ask Rana coffee. And you just take a breath and you remember that moment is for you. Because truly, I mean, all jokes aside, there's such an extra level of anxiety, an extra layer on everybody's existence right now for a million different reasons. And COVID only being one of them. And so to have that little moment where you stop and you take a breath and you do just the tiniest little nice thing for yourself every day makes all the difference.
See,
so we're hoping that we'll help
set
you on the right path.
I do ultimately agree with both of you. This should go to the roommate. I totally agree. There is something wonderful about a conniver drinking coffee. And I do love the idea of this woman having a morning routine, or man, whoever it is, making a cup of coffee, turning on Twitter, and checking up with the brother.
Oh,
with the
getting guy. In. Yeah, this is
yeah, just
this
like
is
creating
it.
A whole moment for it. However, I do agree.
Swirling the mug.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
But hey.
Interesting.
I think you're right. I think it should go to roommate.
Well, sorry, Twitter.
Sorry, you were close. You were close. Now,
Paul.
Yes.
Go ahead, Brian.
I was just going to say, we read just a cliffhanger for the Patreon. We don't actually answer it. So do you mind if we read that now?
I would love it. I'm here for that.
Great. Dear Ron and Brian, I'm a 25-year-old single woman, and I live at home with my parents in Brooklyn, New York. I had been casually dating on and off for a year pre-pandemic and had no issue giving it up completely once our lockdown began. Now, 3 months later, I'm starting to come to terms with the fact that I will probably not be able to date and certainly not kiss or have sex with anyone for another year minimum, especially to prevent exposing my parents to the virus. I often struggle with low self-worth, and the feelings of loneliness that come with being single can send me into negative self-talk spirals. I want to use this time alone to work on creating a better relationship with myself. Here's my question. Any tips on how to make masturbation a more fulfilling experience?
Excuse me.
Thank you for your humor and kindness. I love you both. Kiss, kiss.
Well,
that is one that really took a real left turn.
You didn't see it coming till the absolute last second.
Not yet.
But well, we will answer this on Patreon. We do a Patreon show on Fridays. Every people can sign up.
Yeah, I'm excited. I just want to say, like, that took me like that Roseanne Barr video that just dropped on Twitter like yesterday. You're like, oh, she's talking about politics. She's talking about Trump. And where it ends, if you've not seen it.
I haven't.
It's a great.
I haven't either.
Great.
It is just like that, where you could never predict the twist at the end.
Look at this. We've got two videos to watch. We've got all this extra bonus advice. We know how to run a writer's room. We know how to write a Looney Tunes episode. I mean, Paul, you have been nothing but a wealth of information.
Please follow Paul Scheer everywhere. And also,
what are your Twitter? Yeah, what are your Twitter? What are your socials?
I'm just at Paul Scheer, S-C-H-E-E-R. And Black Monday Season 2, Part 2 is back right now on Showtime for the next couple of weeks. We had to shut down because of COVID. And now we're able to finish our season.
I would also like to recommend.
How did this get made?
How did this get made? Yeah. And Unspooled. Yeah. All the things you can figure it out. I'm just excited to be here.
I would also say, if you follow Paul, I would actually take a look into who he's following.
No porn stars.
Well, not after this recording.
No.
Yeah.
Paul, you're the absolute best. It's such a thrill every time we get to talk to you.
This was such a pleasure. Thank you so much for letting me be here with you and talk about these amazing people.
Adore you. Okay. Kiss, kiss.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of 4Play.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo, let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to 4Play Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.